Welcome to Trail Bites for the week of June 20th, 2019. I'm Gavin Jackson. This mini-pod is a companion piece to the South Carolina Lead, and we're doing this to help keep you up to speed on what candidates are saying on the 2020 campaign trail in the Palmetto State, and also what South Carolinians like you are thinking. Over the past week, several Democratic presidential candidates flocked to the state for the Black Economic Alliance Forum in Charleston on Saturday, June 14th. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke, and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren were all in town. The forum was moderated by journalist Soledad O'Brien and aired on BET Networks the following day. Each candidate spoke for 15 minutes on issues facing the Black community, such as pay inequality, education, and access to credit for small businesses. Beto O'Rourke sat down with O'Brien first and echoed a lot of what he learned the day before while touring Tabernacle Baptist Church in Beaufort. There, he learned about the deep roots the church had to Harriet Tubman and Robert Smalls, as well as about the Gullah Geechee Nation. And an editor's note, some of these remarks are from the forum itself and also the press gaggle afterwards.
We were in Beaufort yesterday at the Tabernacle Baptist Church meeting with Queen Kwet of the Gullah Geechee Nation. And there I learned that Harriet Tubman had spent 3 years of her life. I knew some of her story, but I did not know about her contribution militarily to the Union's victory. I also learned about Robert Smalls right at his gravesite, somebody who commandeered a Confederate ship and led many of his fellow Americans to freedom, and then importantly served in public service in the State House and in the United States Congress well after the end of Reconstruction. I wasn't taught those stories in grade school or in high school in El Paso, Texas. Until we tell the full American story, we will not get to the full American potential. And that story, in addition to the successes represented by Harriet Tubman and Robert Smalls, we also have to talk about the foundational sin of this country, that those kidnapped from West Africa, brought here to South Carolina, literally built the wealth of this country, and their descendants were locked out of the ability to enjoy the fruits of their ancestors through segregation and Jim Crow and redlining and voter suppression that is alive and well today in 2019. And it is not just expressed in the criminal justice system. It is in education. It is in healthcare, where African American women are three times as likely to die from the consequences of maternal mortality as white women. It is in our environment, where communities of color are on the front lines of pollution and climate change. In other words, it is systematic and foundational. And to some who say that we only need to reform, you cannot reform a system that was fundamentally designed for the outcomes that we're seeing today. So,
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren spoke about the difficulty of attaining the American dream for African Americans, due to the need to grow wages and getting rid of checking the box on employment applications for prior convictions, something that could also be prevented through legalizing marijuana, she says.
You need access to capital. This is something the United States government should be able to provide. I have a plan to set aside $7 billion to be there for equity investments for Black and other minority-owned businesses. Now, equity. And I really want to underscore this is different from the other plans that are out there. Most of the others are about lending. And I'm all for getting access to loan money. You bet. That's great. But small businesses, when they're getting started, they need that equity capital, the kind that lets you ride out the tough times. They don't need something that's creating a big debt burden. So part of this is a $7 billion fund. It would support about 100,000 Black and other minority-owned businesses to get them up and started and create about 1 million jobs across this country. That's a win-win for everyone. Good investment. Unions built America's middle class, and unions can rebuild America's middle class. We need more power in the hands of workers. Another part is that we need to rebuild our industrial base in America. I've got a plan to build 1.2 million new manufacturing jobs across this country. Those are the kind of jobs that families can actually build a real future from. And a third part to that is we got to ease up on the things it takes families to build a future. We make universal childcare available, high quality childcare, to every one of our babies. You think how many mamas that frees up, and how many daddies, how many can finish an education, can get a good job, right? And also all the way to the other end. You got a chance to go for free to technical school, to two-year college, to four-year college, to see your student loan debt erased, to know that your kids are gonna get that opportunity. That's how it is that we start to build a future.
South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg addressed the difficulties Black business owners face obtaining credit and other ways to grow communities through minority-owned businesses. He also mentioned how he needs to break through to Black voters, who make up some 60% of South Carolina's Democratic electorate.
Well, a lot of it is because I'm new on the scene and I'm not myself from a community of color. And Black voters I talk to frankly feel burned and taken advantage of by politicians in both parties who come along making lavish promises, taking a vote for granted, showing up just before the election. And so as far as what I'm doing about it, part of it is making sure opportunities like today and others that we are engaging with Black activists, with Black entrepreneurs, with Black voters and Black leaders to talk about what an agenda for Black America is really going to look like. Some of the pastors I remember back home, we're about 25% African American in South Bend, never could have become mayor and certainly never could have succeeded without a strong relationship with our Black community. And I remember a pastor saying to me early on when I was getting started, you know, everybody knows how to come to church just before an election. I want to see what you do afterwards. And I think there's that feeling more generally. So that's why we have to have an authentic encounter with people everywhere we find them, and of course present the substance of our agenda, the policies we're trying to get through, but also explain the values that those policies come from. Too often I'm afraid that the Democrats have this habit of talking in jargon, talking very technically about our policies in a way that, there should be no confusion about what our policies are. But I think we don't talk enough about the values that make us Democrats. If you can refinance a home, you ought to be able to refinance your student loan. It's common sense. We also need to face the fact that there are a lot of for-profit colleges that have taken advantage of people. And when we talk about debt relief, we should start with the colleges that would have failed. Of course, this administration got rid of it, but the Obama administration set a clear bar for these for-profit colleges and the ones that were simply not delivering value. The colleges that failed that test, you should have your debt forgiven because they have turned the Department of Education into a predatory lender, and we got to put that right.
New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, the only African-American candidate attending the forum, used examples from his time as mayor of Newark, the largest city in New Jersey, to describe how he would use gentrification in a positive way and his plan to use savings bonds issued at birth to help equalize the playing field for African Americans later in life.
So this was the great thing about actually having a record as a chief executive of a state's largest city that is majority Black. It's because we had these explicit conversations 15, 20 years ago in our city because we believed in Newark. Other folks might have looked down on us, overlooked us, cast us aside, but we knew we were charging back. By the time I was leaving to become a United States Senator, we went from a city with 60 years of decay and decline to now making us not only the first time in 60 years growing, but the biggest economic development boom our city's had in generations because we focused on shared growth.
Part of that boom, Market Street, is now a lovely street to live on. Two-bedroom apartment Market Street can cost you $2,900.
And that's why for every—
Is that good or bad?
Well, no. That's why for every housing project that we built in the city of Newark, we told those developers that you were going to develop on our terms, not yours. And this meant understanding the multiplier effect. I had to have conversations with the building trades and say, look, your unions are great. I believe in union jobs. But if I'm going to do this as union labor, I need to make sure that you have apprenticeship programs for minority kids in my community. I want to make sure that you have people from my community working. We also said that if you're going to build housing and use our city resources, that you're going to make sure that 30% of this project, 40, we have projects over 50% for affordable housing as well. And so we just literally had the national conference on gentrification where in Newark, New Jersey, showing the models we've used for shared development. It is not a fait accompli that we are going to have a country that when cities come back, you'll see this in many cities where they push low-income people out. These are conscious policy decisions.
So, dear listener, I know what you're going to say. Gavin, there are a lot of voices in this trail bite. It's almost like a trail meal, not even a bite at this point. I get it. I know. Just wait till the convention. I think that's going to be a two-parter. But imagine this. I was stuck in the spin room for most of this time, just kind of watching it on the monitors, and then these candidates would come in. We would talk to them about a variety of topics for a couple moments. So during this, I didn't have the time to get out and talk to the attendees as quickly as I would have liked to. So by the time we wrapped up our last gaggle, no one was really left. And looking ahead to this week, basically everybody is going to be in town for Jim Clyburn's world-famous fish fry on Friday.
Brown liquor.
And they'll be speaking at the State Democratic Party's convention on Saturday, also in Columbia. And we'll get you the full video of the fish fry on our YouTube page. So a lot going on, and you can also find these full remarks from this Black Economic Alliance forum, as well as others who have visited the state, on South Carolina ETV's YouTube page under the SC 2020 playlist. You can follow me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson for candidate updates. And just a reminder, Campaign Trail Bites is not biased toward any candidate or campaign. We're just covering these candidates as they come through and as we can get to them. We're out there trying to get as much information for you so you can make your own decision in 2020. We'll bring you a mini-pod every time there's campaign trail activity in the state. And let us know your thoughts on our Twitter at SCLEDEPOD. And follow us with the same handle on Instagram for photos from the campaign trail and some sweet memes. Campaign Trail Bites is a production of the South Carolina Lead. I'm Gavin Jackson.